for the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017 is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last one.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we are podcasting in the shadow of a pandemic.
We are, Nick. A lot of my favourite podcasts have started off by apologising for the poor sound quality because they're recording from home rather than the studio. We have no need to apologise, Nick, because our sound quality is always poor and it's always not recorded in the studio.
Ah, yes. Yeah, our same slapdash commitment that's made it through... Oh my god, is this our 10th year?
Oh my god. We'll have to check that. So that kind of dedication and research. But, you know, if we spend...
The same slapdash approach applies to our record keeping.
If only we spent as much time, or 1/10 of the time, on looking for audio equipment rather than on footy wire and researching stats, we'd be a smoothly running podcast professional machine. But we're going to assume that the game's happening tomorrow. If it doesn't, we'll say some things that will stay relevant for when, inshallah, the season starts. But, you know, there's no point in moping and being depressed about the season. Let's just carry on the best we can.
There are plenty of other things in the real world to be depressed about.
Sports is an escape. And you know what you're not going to hear on this podcast, Nick?
Mm-hmm.
Overly confident predictions about whether the AFL should or should not shut down the season, because neither of us have a medical degree. And by the way, even if you have a medical degree, it's not a cut and dried issue. So I'm not going to come across with hot takes. I thought Jack was quite passionate about it. I don't know the right decision. But if anyone can keep playing, it's people at the very elite level who are well paid, can afford to isolate themselves and get excellent medical care. I'm not saying they should, but it's a difficult decision and we won't be pontificating on it.
No, but I think the approach that this is changing really fast, and I think arguing about 17 games versus 22 games is sort of missing the point. I think we just got to... If anyone can do the cliche of we're taking this 1 week at a time, it's footballers, and they should apply that dedication.
Exactly, and as we should as fans. Also, but I did like the take straight away that all the good teams benefit from going to a 17-game season because it evens out the draw, which normally benefits the rising teams that finished outside the eight last year. So bad for Melbourne, good for us. But, Nick...
Can I just have my one... cynical take that, as we've seen, as seen by how few home games we've ever played against the Suns and the Giants, we're more likely to play there to help prop up their, well, I suppose if they don't have home crowds, then we can't be used to prop up their crowds, but...
I must guarantee you that we'll play the GWS in Sydney because A, that, and B, they don't want us to have home ground advantage against them because, we'll beat them if we play them in the MCG most likely, and they'll beat us if we play in Sydney. They want the GWS to win a flag. We've had our turn. It was just, sorry, conspiracy, tinfoil hat, Andy, or something I'm gonna have strong opinions on. Like, Jeremy Cameron not getting a week or two... Like, it's amazing. Jeremy Cameron is the most coordinated player in football. You know, he can kick a goal. He regularly kicks goals from 60. He's a wonderful footballer with amazing body control. And yet, so often, he loses control of his limbs at a crucial moment that involves him whacking an opposition player. And yet, he keeps getting away with it. Frustrating.
Yep. That was... Well, should we go on to what we learnt from the preseason?
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I was really... I don't think you could take much about away from the Collingwood game. First hit out for us. Sort of lot of star players out for both sides. But, yeah, they were running Treloar and Taylor Adams against Ross and Riley Collie-Dawkins. It was a very, very pre-season game.
A few macro thoughts. I was at the ground. Thoroughly enjoyable experience.
How was country footy?
Oh, it's great. And went camping with a few lovely lads beforehand, and harassed some fish, largely unsuccessfully. it's all about the atmosphere and the enjoying the company with a modest couple of beverages. So that was fantastic. Great to see. Never been to Wangaratta ground before. Great ground. Great sight lines.
I haven't been either.
It's sort of interesting because you don't. It's harder to analyse the game, especially pre-season football, where you're really looking at just a couple of players. But, it was interesting. Like, I mean, one thing that really stood out live is just Pickett's attack on the football. Sorry, not Pickett. Stack's attack on the football just stands out. The way he doesn't pause when he sprints into a contest from 20 metres away sort of stands out live. It was, as you pointed out, and sort of a key takeaway from me is, let's not forget that Treloar cost the Pies 2 first-round picks and wasn't good enough to be amongst the 50 best AFL players who played on the Friday before.
Yeah, I think it's petty that Richmond supporters have never forgiven him for his comment about the relative quality of our lists, but yeah, these are the things that keep us warm on cold nights.
Exactly. I mean, I would have teed up on him more, but the poor guy did his hamstring during the game. But, the point was he was playing in that game because he's just a good, solid, slightly above average AFL midfielder who gets a lot of stats but doesn't necessarily use the ball that well. Not worth 2 first-round draft picks. Not worth, DM Presti Dan Rioli, which would have been the opportunity cost.
Dan Rioli.
Yeah, and yep. DM Presti.
I think that what you said just then is the key takeaway from preseason. That we came out of neither game with any significant injuries. The Bashers got a calf at training this week, but that was the biggest achievement for us was no long term injuries coming out of preseason, because I did really feel like that we were we've been playing a lot of finals in recent years, and there's no need to be raring to go at absolutely peak fitness at halfway through the preseason. You know, they're planning for a long campaign.
Yeah, and like, again, sorry to make coronavirus all about Richmond, but we've played, between 5 to 8 games more than all the other teams in the AFL over the last 3 years, and really hard games, i.e. finals. It absolutely helps to shorten the season and reduce some of the wear and tear on the players. It helps us relatively more than some other clubs, particularly when we've got our list is no longer young and some of our key players are a bit older, and so shortening the season is probably benefits us. Now, Nick, I did, before the last podcast, we talked about 5 key questions. Now we're going to talk about some other players as well, but I just wanted to go through my 5 because just have a bit of discipline and just see what we learnt and what we didn't, what questions were answered and what weren't over the last 2 games in the Wangaratta and Wagga, famous cauldrons of famous proving grounds of AFL metal. So, Nick, my first one, if you'll indulge me, is Marlon sustainable? Can he play midfield? And
yes, it was, your hate was noted.
Yeah, I know. The shooting Bambi take was went down about as well as I expected. I would say I'd say the answer to that question is just a pass mark. What do you think?
Ooh.
And I'll explain why.
Well, there's a couple. I thought he was pretty good.
So against the Pies, he played full game time. You know, now there's a couple of things that happened in both games. He got caught holding the ball, so, you know, which is going to happen because he takes risks with the football. He takes his time, and
he takes the game on. He's very confident and he's got a very high skill level. And yeah, Dusty gets caught with the ball a bit as well.
It's a function of his style of play. He's almost laconical in the way he's completely unflustered when he's around the football. You know, he got plenty of doing plenty of work in the centre square and sort of dominated the Wang game early, but only finished with 14 touches on reasonably high game time against the Pies. Now, admittedly, his teammates weren't having a great day either, so there was some worry there that the shooting Bambi take, that his disposal numbers are worryingly low throughout his career, that game didn't assuage those concerns. But then against the GWS in a very hot, high standard game that was probably played at least for parts of the game better than a lot of AFL regular season games, he had 20 touches, which was far more reassuring, and you know, was involved in the play. So I'm certainly not shooting Bambi, but I don't think those questions have been entirely put to bed yet.
Well, I don't think he's a super high possession winner.
Exactly.
As we've said, but I think he's going to be good. Like he's moving really well, and I love him in the role that he played in the grand final. So he's not. We didn't start off the first quarter with him in the midfield. You know, we've got our first line midfielders. And he's a second line midfielder, and he just provides something different. And I really like him. I have no doubt that he's the best 22 player.
Yeah, he's best 22. And fair enough. Really liking him is reasonable. Mm. You and every other Richmond supporter, but I'm waiting and seeing him on his sustainability as a midfield player, and whether he's a full season player or whether he spends some time in the VFL. Now, next question: replacing Brando.
Well, my first question was: will Soldo dominate the competition? Work in progress. That one, I think I would have liked to kicked goals in both games. Looked good. Still not winning a ton of ball, but pretty good in ruck contests. So that way. I would have liked a little more.
Yeah, look, that's fair. A little part of me wanted him to go you know, to be, there's some exponential improvement over, you know, if you even track his improvement over the course of the 2019 season, that it was a grab going steeply up, I think, he was never bad, but he got better and better as the year went on, and, you know, somehow I thought magically that would keep going up. You know, a little part of me was hoping that, you know, he'd be a top five ruck this year in the AFL, and he's not there yet. I agree. I think he picked up from where he was in 2019, which is he's solid in the ruck contest. I think we won hitouts both games. He's okay. He's solid around the ground. He's got he's a good shot for goal, as pointed out on Twitter. But he's not looking all world yet. Doesn't mean he can't get there, but there wasn't some magical exponential leap over the off season. He was just the Ivan Soldo we remember. So yeah. A pass, but not revolutionary. And also, I'm just not comfortable with him not wearing 47. I feel like slightly betrayed. Anyway.
Mm. So your what was your second one?
Oh, oh who's going to replace both Brando? So the three names that I particularly talked about was Higo, Graham, and Stack. Well, Graham Graham's obviously injury is slightly more serious than thought, or they just didn't have spot for him, so he's coming back through the VFL for a while. Stack, I was super impressed with. He did make mistakes. It's funny for he took that beautiful screamer, but also GWS did kick some goals where he allowed the ball, he dropped a mark, tried to take an overhead mark and he spilled it, and GWS ran in an easy goal. Like, he's not perfect, but he's super brave. He attacks the contest hard. His stats weren't amazing, but he had amazing moments in both games, and there's just no way. But the interesting thing, I guess, is they've moved him back into the back line, so
Well, that was one of my questions. Yeah, I'm still team backline.
Yeah, fair enough. And yes, he makes the odd mistake, but if you don't have the perfect tank, maybe it's a better position for you, because playing in the Richmond forward line requires a huge amount of, you have to be an amazing athlete. And I think the preseason, not that we needed any reminder, but did highlight how both Rioli and George are incredible fast twitch athletes who can run all day, put on great pressure, and also do exciting things when we've got the ball. Exciting in all senses of the word when it comes to George.
The next one of mine was sort of things to worry about, and I was worried about sort of potential decline of some of our older players, well, Basher, Jack, and Sheds, the three candidates. I'm a bit worried about Basher's calf strain. I think that's one that's going to need to be watched really closely. Jack didn't have an awesome preseason. Sheds looked fine. I'm not. He's the one I'm least worried about.
Jack had this distinct look. There was a moment in the GWS game where there was a beautiful kick out the back to him that if he'd just taken his usual sort of half hanger, he would have marked easily, and he just didn't seem to want to get off the ground. I think that's just him. I read that as, of course, in an optimistic way, because I'm a fan, and I can't bear the thought of Richmond without Jack, is that Jack was just not taking unnecessary risks in pre-season and was coasting into round one. So that's how I interpreted that. So there was no evidence to the contrary that about Jack's aging, but I'm comfortable he's smart enough to pace himself to round one. I was just going to say briefly on Higo. So I only played one game, and he had six touches in sort of high 60s game time. So look, it's great to have him out there, but I'm not sure he's in the round one team.
Oh, look, yeah, it was fantastic to have him there, I think. Yeah, and I thought he was busy. I'm surprised his disposal count was that low. The question of depth sort of was a little, I have to say, that was a little disappointing. I thought of the depth players, some of them showed more than others. I think Riley Collier-Dawkins was a bit disappointing against Collingwood. Although putting him in the centre square against Adams and Treloar was certainly throwing him into it. I thought Jack Ross, is Jack Ross, and I think will be in the 25 players for tomorrow. That was one of my other questions of, do we get any bolters, bolts from the blue, from the younger players? Were there any that really caught your eye?
Well, I'm not sure you can call a first round draft pick a bolt from the blue. Actually, one of my disappointments was Martin didn't play in Wangaratta, because I heard a bit of sort of from people who know that The coaching staff are quite excited about Martin. But
yeah, look, he was in the squad, which I take as a good sign. But yeah,
yeah, he's just going to build through the VFL. But yeah, I think Thompson Dow overtook RCD on the inside lane. If you add up his two games together, he had 10 touches from the equivalent of 63% total game time. So that's actually okay, if you think about that. 10 touches for a sort of a rookie player, 60% game time. So, you know, it's not all world, but it's the flashes that make you excited. So, you know, I think Thompson Dow's the one that, you know, those picking up those balls and getting it out of packs. He showed some of the first round flashes that you want to see. So, I mean, if anyone's the bolter, it's him. So, yeah, as you say, not a first round pick, not that controversial a call, but, yeah, I think he was the one who stood out of the young players.
Yeah, and that's always the question with young players is, you know, they're all physically gifted. Can they translate those gifts to senior football when everyone else on the field is a gun athlete as well? And you saw that ability to pick the ball up and move laterally that he had in juniors. So yeah, it was encouraging. But yeah, he also looked physically small, so yeah, it's a development year.
Yep.
And you know, that is one of the disappointments, is that we're not going to be able to watch these guys play in the VFL.
So Colin Coleman-Jones, someone I pointed out, you know,
I think we've been very restrained not talking about him so far.
Yeah, and funnily enough, there's an article in The Age today, and one of the things is they've got McRae talking about best player you haven't heard of on the Richmond team, and it's Callum Coleman-Jones. And McRae is saying he'll be a great round the ground ruckman, can potentially get 20 touches in a game, you know, good mark, big tank. So he showed a bit of why. I think there's a pretty heavy crossover between people who watch VFL and people who watch practice games, so I don't think it would have been a huge shock to see for those who've been watching.
No, or to listeners of our podcast, to be fair.
Indeed. So, you know, when he took a couple of contested marks, I don't think that would have shocked it, or it shouldn't have shocked anyone. It was nice, he kicked a goal. It was very exciting. By the way, the temperature dropped about 10 degrees in Wangaratta when a Pies fan, he was slagging Mason Cox, but he said... Coxon made an error, I think a bad shot for goal, and he said, "What do you expect for a ruckman?" And you could feel the temperature drop 10 degrees around me.
Ruck lives matter.
Yes, exactly. So he was all right. You know, there wasn't sort of like.
Oh, I almost suggested that we do an emergency podcast at quarter time of the GWS game. I thought he played really well against Jacobs.
Yeah. I think, actually, you know, not Richmond, but I'm pretty sure Jacobs is washed.
He ended up, I thought that as well, but he ended up with 18 disposals.
Yeah, he got a lot of cheap, he's good at getting cheap disposals when the other ruckman's drop zoning off. But I'm pretty confident we'll, when we play them in the regular season, we'll beat them like a drum in the ruck area.
So, yeah, they've got a second ruck problem. Because, yeah, Finlayson versus Soldo or Cohen Coleman-Jones wasn't going well.
Yeah, and if you have a ruckman, Mumford and Jacobs versus CCJ, you know, they could make our rucks look sort of sprightly and good round the ground. But yeah, he was good. He's very much a cohort. He clunked. He's great contestant mark. One of the best on the club. His record
kicked goals in both games.
Yeah, look, he's a very solid round the ground player. His ruck work is still not great.
It was better than
you had low expectations.
You know, well, I'm not low expectations, but I thought he'd be average, because he's not a super explosive vertical athlete. So I was actually pleased that he was getting over the top of Jacobs, because Jacobs is famously long, and you know was always far too much for Ivi to handle in the ruck. And yes, he's much older now, but I was encouraged by particularly his centre square work, and it was noticeable in a game that I thought our defensive pressure was off against a bit off against the Giants. We dominated the center square clearances.
Yeah, absolutely, we did. And that was for a number of reasons. But yeah, look, I guess it's because I'm a CCG fanboy. It was a little bit of my problem also with Soldo is that I wanted them to come out and dominate, and when they were just pretty good in an AFL environment, it's not good enough for me because I've got such high expectations. But yeah, I think he's playing round one. Presumably round one happens this week. It's a more live question if Nank has more time to play preseason. But I think he's in at the spot, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him play against Carlton, which will be a really interesting matchup. The last question I had is Bolter. Can he play centre half back? Mm. It's not looking good.
He had some good moments, but yeah, and look, they matched him up on my check, so that was always going to be tough. Because he's a smaller, but pretty smart, experienced player, so that's, he would have been better off going against someone who was a bit, more athletic and raw the way he is. So, yeah, there were moments, but yeah, it wasn't all that encouraging.
I actually think there was one other player I wanted to mention. The absolute standout for me at the in the Wangaratta game was Baker.
Oh, yeah, he looked great. Yeah, very active and confident, I thought.
Yeah, 30 disposals is, according to champion data, a very good kick, so it's not or a good user, so it's not at all a bad thing that he's getting on the outside. Still, he bounced off a few tackles, but that's the price of Liam Baker. But I just love him because he's clearly worked really hard in the off season, come back even better. Like, he's such a hard working, admirable player. If we weren't as good a team, because, the problem with modern Richmond is we're full of fan favourite cult hero types.
That is the problem. I hate it every minute.
Yeah, we need more dislikable players. Bakes, in a more normal Richmond team, Bakes would be close to my favourite player.
Non-ruck division.
Yes, well, obviously, Nick. Don't be ridiculous. Of the unimportant players, Bakes would be one of my favourites.
Yep. Nathan, talking about defenders, Nathan Broder's marking target coming out of the back line in Wangaratta. How did you feel about that?
I hated it. I hated that.
He won a lot of ball.
He did. The problem is, so he was playing Brando's role, and he can get the ball. He actually showed one or two tricks, which was one or two tricks more than I thought he had. So I was not going to talk about this, but it really reminded me of Stevie Morris to the forward line, where it's prioritising coaching too much over. Like, I can see why they do it, because he's a great runner. He's going to give you great defensive coverage on the fat side when there's a switch. He'll always get to the right position, but it's just not a sustainable move because he doesn't, at the bottom line is you don't scare anyone in AFL unless you've got tricks. You've got to be able to do something good with the ball. And he's not bad. He's better than I expected, but he's just not good enough as an AFL mid. Like, Brando, for his faults, he was a midfielder when he was a junior. He got a lot of the footy. He could create. He wasn't a perfect, disposal, user, but he wasn't a career back pocket, which is what Broad is.
It was good to try it out see what it looks like. But yeah, the questions on disposal were too big for me.
If you had to do it for a quarter for various reasons, it looked like it might not be a complete disaster. To his credit,
it was fine.
I thought it was probably in the 90th percentile of where my expectations curve was for that move.
Hmm. very much true to form. We've gone nearly half an hour and we haven't mentioned Dusty, and Dusty looks great.
Yes, he does. God, he's fun to watch. And he's just so charismatic. Like, just football is so much better when Dusty is near the ball. And it's really interesting watching a bit of the ally, even like amongst the best players in that made up game that they had, for a very good cause. It's just that football's more exciting when he's even amongst the best of the best. Like, everyone gets more excited when Dusty's near the ball.
Yeah, that first goal, he kicked where, you know, he swerved, you know, got the ball, juked, I think it was Zach Shepherd, and slotted it through. It was like, oh, yeah, I really liked, other clubs, getting to see what it's like to barrack for Dusty, just so they can be, and particularly North Melbourne supporters, be even more jealous.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is completely selfishly, and, you know, whatever the decision made, I'm sure it'll be the right one, but this is the very sad thing if the season was called, is that just we won't get to see them play, and you only get so many years of these guys in their prime.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we've just played a long preseason. Well, actually, for us, a pretty short preseason. You know, lots of news, lots of speculation. But do you think we, like, in terms of approaching round one, do you think we learnt anything about how we're feeling about the matchup?
No, not a thing. I think if you looked at the injury list, that was the only thing that could have changed. Other than that, you know, we lost both games. One was a good game, another one was our reserves team. I don't think it's told us a thing. What do you think?
Well, so the betting line, so, you know, because I'm a sad and often depraved person, you know, betting, looking at the betting market.
And Nick, we should actually point out that you don't actually gamble, even though you always quote the betting lines. You don't gamble anyway.
Oh, I know. I'm obsessed. Look, we've ever since, I think it was the Melbourne game. I don't know. It was about 10 years ago. So Melbourne were dreadful, and we were slightly less dreadful. And I just worked myself up into a fever pitch that we were going to lose pre-game. And went and found a TAB to bet on Melbourne, and then we beat them easily, and I felt ashamed and dirty, but kind of happy we won. So I thought, no, I put myself through the emotional rigour too much anyway. I can't do this rationally. So yeah, I track betting lines obsessively, but I don't let myself bet on Richmond anymore. And the betting line has moved by about 1 point through the whole preseason. So essentially we learnt nothing. We're pretty solid favourites.
Yep. And Nick, the most revealing thing I had from round one was reading the AFL Prospectus Carlton section, which I read last night, researching the podcast, and was reassured to discover that Carlton are still crap. So
they're gonna accumulate so many high draft picks. Like, they already have far more high draft picks, top 10 draft picks, than we do. But, you know, thankfully, culture, coaching, player development still matter. So, yeah, I'm always really worried, and round one, especially this year, is a different game. It's normally really fast, frenetic, weird stuff happens, you know, zany, we cop the worst of zany umpiring interpretations. Like, it's just, stuff can happen. But yes, as you say, reading the prospectus, Walsh is going to be a gun midfielder.
Yeah, and So there's a couple of points I wanted to make. Like, you know, as you know, Nick, I thought Brendan Bolton was a terrible coach. You know, any person that can coach a team with Patrick Cripps, to that many losses, is,
I know. I've got in my notes, dead Teague bounce.
Yes, but a few things about the Teague bounce, Nick. Firstly, in the Teague era, they have a percentage of 96. So, you know, let's not pretend that even though they won five of their first seven, you know, being better than Bolton doesn't mean that you can, that you're going to win, a premiership. Second thing is, and this I did not realize, was, one of the first things Teague did, to restore competitiveness was he kicked the kids out of the midfield, and moved back, once Teague was in control, Murphy, Cunro the senior, and Cruiser.
Ed Cunro, yeah.
Yeah, Cunro, sorry. All got moved back into the midfield, and, guess what, the two 30-year-olds and a 32-year-old. So he brought in the geriatrics to stabilize the ship. Now, you know, that might be a sensible transition move, but they weren't winning because they suddenly bought their young guns into the midfield. They just actually got Cripps some semi-adequate support. So there's no guarantee yet that these young guns, who are high picks, so that, you know, they may well turn out to be good players, but actually there's no proof that they will be, and there's no reason why we should expect an exponential improvement this year, which is what they'll need to do to beat us. Also, the injury list isn't helping them. You know, their best young player, is injured. It's
Charlie Kerner, yeah.
Yeah, so who is genuinely very good. So, and on the flip side, we don't have any injuries. Now, another wild card you didn't mention is no crowd noise, which, you know, might affect the psychology of the players, but, you know, we've won big games away, last year, so I was fundamentally reassured when I look back. There's no secret sauce to Carlton. They haven't reinvented the wheel. There's not a massive guaranteed improvement. Basically, they're at the end of a terrible era, and now they're beginning again. Now, maybe they'll be good, as you say, lots of high picks, but there's no actually hard evidence that they're going to be a big improver this year, other than the draft position of some of their players.
Yeah, and look, there are some very good players, like Jacob took a job on late season Tom Lynch, which not many people did. Cripps always plays really well against us. Sam Walsh is an extremely professional, good young player. The forward line is a bit without Charlie Kerner, they've really struggled to kick goals in the preseason. Like Jay Silvani's been their best marking target, along with Levi Casbolt, and we've seen the Levi Casbolt story. I think that there's, you know, I think the midfield is, they've got so many high draft picks in the midfield, they can't help but hit on some of them eventually. But yeah, that's can they kick enough goals? You know, Eddie Betts is clearly well on the decline and not playing this week anyway. So yeah, Jack Martin is a, you know, very talented player. Not always the most consistent producer, but yeah, I'm always worried round one, but their preseason has it, I think you'd probably say they'd be a bit disappointed by, but all bets are off come round one.
Yeah, I mean, just on the bets thing, that strikes me as the kind of thing that will win you one game and lose you three others. The one game where he kicks four goals and reminds you of all the great player he was, you know, makes you feel good. But then the media will never pick up on his below mediocre defensive pressure, and you know how much the game has played, how much the way the game has changed in the way it's played, and partly a lot of that's due to Richmond. Archetype of the Mon forward. Thank you. First thing in the morning, and my coffee, and I still can't talk properly. And is Dan Rioli. It's not Eddie Betts.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's still a smart player.
And it's lots of fun. He's a legend of the game. I'm not disputing his body of work. I just don't think that it was the right thing for a young club to do.
The Sam Doherty making it through preseason. I think that's a genuine step forward for them. Because he's missed two full seasons, so he hasn't looked quite back at full form and fitness as you'd expect. But he's got through it successfully, so that's a step forward. We'll say Jack Dow. I think they'd be slightly worried about him for a number two pick in the draft. I don't think he's quite developed as expected yet.
Oh, are you looking forward to the sizzling hot take that we say we've got the better Dow?
Oh, no, I just want to reunite the two brothers, apparently. I loved him as a junior.
No, nice. I like your forward thinking. So, let's hope we... I'm sure we will play them. The AFL will probably start as Carlton versus Richmond, whether we play on Thursday night or sometime in the future. I'm just looking forward to the game. If the game doesn't happen, I've got a few plans lined up
which we haven't talked about. We haven't talked about at all. hearing about them.
We'll come to that later. But hopefully, looking forward to having football back, men's football. And just briefly, Nick.
We should. Speaking of men's football, it's fair to say that women's football hasn't gone. Is the phrase from bad to worse?
Yeah, so I was actually sort of wondering that. Is it good for the development of the Richmond women's team or not? That, like, they're sort of... Because the Venn diagram between the people who are engaged in our AFLW team and the people who are instinctively positive about Richmond, it's a pretty cross-heavy crossover. Like the sort of
to be fair, most Richmond supporters are pretty positive about Richmond these days.
That is true, but I sort of wonder, does it help or hurt that you don't have the, had this been punt road end in 2009 or 2008 or something like that? Let's just run through it. The recruiter drafted,
which was. Trading Alex Rance back to Perth for a third round draft pick because he hadn't done anything yet.
That's true. Well, yeah, I mean, you're taking the most extreme example, but there was a lot of sort of, let's just run through in the course of a year, the head recruiter drafting themselves, who's an ex-teammate and of our GM, the GM trash talking other clubs and their media performance, were sort of our high price free agents being okay but not great.
I think Conti's been great.
Oh yeah, sorry, yes. Yeah, Conti has been great. She's everything that was on the I think she's more than was advertised on the box. I think she
not on this podcast, but yeah.
Yeah, she's been great, but the sort of the other two, Brennan and Asabs have been okay.
Brennan was having her best years, close to her best years statistically, and we've been really bad since she went out.
Yeah, they've been okay, like as we pointed out in the podcast.
Sabs has been good, but not great. She's kicked 3.7 goals.
Yeah,
on the season, which is as you know that just sets me off.
It does, but a lot of those shots are not easy shots. She's not, she's all right. Like both of them are right, but they're sort of they haven't performed to the level of the hype, and partly that's self-inflicted by the club. But the thing that's most worrying is like in the last few weeks, not to forget that we were right in the Gold Coast game, probably should have won it. Mm. We were right in the Geelong game before Brennan got knocked out.
I loved the Geelong game was my favourite. I really enjoyed that. I thought I was at the start of the season, I was a bit down that they had so few games in Melbourne, but Bendigo, having watched a bit of Bendigo Pioneers football on TV, the difference between Bendigo in July, on a wet day in July, versus a sunny ground with 5,000 people in it in February, I thought it looked great. And it was a fantastic game of football.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things, you know, we often talk about this podcast, or inherently is don't overreact to a couple of games, but unfortunately it's a short season, so you don't have many data points, so you do instinctively overreact, and the absolute sort of complete capitulation in a few games and sort of just giving up towards the end, that's the kind of thing that sends fans mad and is very concerning.
Yeah, the assistant coach leaving the team.
Oh yeah, sorry, that was probably almost the most disturbing thing. But yes, go on.
You know, that's certainly not a good sign.
Can't you all get on with each other till the end of the year? Anyway, sorry. I guess, but anyway.
Look, I just think it's I've
not very mindful.
I heard somebody say about baseball, but I think it applies to AFL. You know, all winning teams are happy teams and everybody's getting along, and losing teams, there's a completely different atmosphere. And I think, I thought the team spirit, you know, looked good in the Geelong game, but yeah, it's really, the last few weeks have not been good.
Yeah, I think there's a salutary lesson there that, you know, and I completely agree with your point that winning teams makes good teams, you know, there's a lot of good off-field stuff you can do, or just don't do dumb things, and I think Richmond's got that nailed, but at the end of the day, you need good players who play good football, and that helps a hell of a lot when you're building team spirit, and you know the teams playing against like,
against the Saints, we had 10 players under in single I think no 10 players under 5 disposals, which that almost seems impossible, but Talia Stahl was our leading goal kicker in the VFLW last year, and she really hasn't made an impact. So yeah, the you know, and we didn't dominate, but we won the hit outs, but got flogged in center clearances. Like, yeah, need more good players.
We need more good players, I think we need a couple of veteran leaders. You know, maybe we'll go for less famous ones this time, but ones that sort of Johnny Launchpale types. I just want us to find the female Shane Tuck, but, you know, that's my solution to everything.
Yeah, so we don't know what's going to happen to the season.
I think that in the case of the Richmond women, it's not a bad thing that if the season ends early, you know, it's maybe...
It would almost feel a bit merciful.
Yeah, but, you know, there is still a chance for redemption. So, you know, don't want to be too negative. They're young. There's a lot of learning.
And building a program takes time. Yeah, so we're taking our lumps.
And just one last thing is maybe they could be a bit less deferential to Conti. Like, there was a little bit of a, like, everyone always gives it to Conti. And, you know... That's great for her disposal stats, but, you know, she can't do everything. Someone else has to get a kick. Yeah.
True. You know, we're fingers crossed. We have a season. I've already suspended the AFLW. I don't know that we'll get to see the women again. Sounds like the VFL's off. And we're day by day on the AFL. It's really strange times, but, you know, I think football is one of the things that really helps bring communities together. So I hope it can go ahead. I hope we get to continue to talk about football.
Absolutely.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
first time.
Celebration of all good things Rick's from right now.
Nothing about it.
Makes rants.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Oh, what a pick up from Conjun. Left foot snap. The goal of the game.
Trent, Dimmer and Renegade deserve all the credit. They've built something fantastic and they just got to keep riding away.
Martin, three votes.